Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.' The word of God for the people of God."
Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious and loving God, we are grateful for this chance to be gathered in heart and spirit together, that we know that you have gathered among us because we have absolutely paused in this time in your name. So now we pray, Holy Spirit, that as you always do, that you would one more time pour yourself out on us, that as you always do, that you would take the words of the scripture which we share, the humble words that I will offer, and the thoughts of every single one of our hearts, and inspire them so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. So this is a text that can be kind of challenging. So we find ourselves, we want to remind ourselves where we are, what's been happening in the scripture around here, what we're in the middle of. And so again, we are still in this text, we are still in the middle of that space between in the middle of Holy Week. Jesus is still in the temple between Sunday and Thursday evening. And as Jesus is speaking now, Jesus tells the chief priests, the elders, and now some Pharisees who have joined in the temple, he tells them a third parable. And this one is about privilege. Now, we'll probably need to take a second and talk about what we mean by privilege, and then we'll come back to that in more detail. But when we talk about privilege, we talk about privilege in kind of two really important ways. The first way is, and this comes from the Merriam-Webster's online dictionary, the definition, and this one is particularly geared towards English language learners. So folks who, for whom English may not be their first language, but I think it says it really nicely. So it says that a privilege is a right or a benefit that's given to some people but not to others, a special opportunity to do something that makes you proud. Right? We know how we've all heard that word used that way, right? It is a privilege for me to be here with you. It's a way of expressing a blessing that we have received. an honor that has been bestowed to us. We recognize that it's a gift, and it's something that we want to take, we want to name, and we want to take seriously. But there's another way in which we use that word, and that is the advantage that wealthy or powerful people have over other people in a society. All right, if you've watched the news much over the last year or so, you may have heard people using privilege in this sense. You know, that the elites are privileged. That basically it's a sense of, it's a pejorative way. It's a negative side of privilege. And this parable has both sides of it. Now, the parable starts out with the kingdom of heaven is like a king who threw a wedding banquet. Now, one of the things about the scriptures, one of the things about church in general is that, if you've been Methodist for very long, you know that one of the things we're really good at is eating. Now, that's not just United Methodists. And that's one of the hardest things about this pandemic is we haven't been able to get together eating together has always been a big part of that. I don't know about you, but I miss the hospitality time before and after worship. One of the predecessor denominations that became the United Methodist Church was the Evangelical United Brethren Church. And I have a dear friend from seminary who his parents grew up in the former Methodist side of the house. My parents grew up in the former EUB side of the house. And he would always look at me and say, well, you know what EUB means, right? It's eat up, brother. Right? There's something about food that's really kind of important to us. And we get it fairly from the scripture. So it's kind of hard for us to imagine, but in ancient Israel, in the peoples and the stories of scripture, there really wasn't money in the sense that we think about it until after the time of the exile. It's when they get into exile that this notion of money and the way that we think of it as this universal thing that we trade for other things comes around. And so before that time, if you were to talk about a way of sharing ridiculous amounts of wealth, we didn't talk about millions and millions of dollars. No, what you talked about instead was there was this fantastic feast. And so the prophets often speak about the kingdom of God, about God's generosity in terms of feasts. Our call to worship this morning came from Psalm 23, which famously has the line in it about being seated and feasting even in the presence of enemies. Right? Food is a way that we talk about the generosity of God. And so Jesus starts this parable out with, so the kingdom of God is like a king who threw a wedding feast for his son. This is God's ridiculous generosity, inconceivably generous. And all this group of folks who had been invited, to come to the party, were to be the recipients of this great generosity of the king. And then very quickly, it goes sideways. And so there's a way to think about this parable, and sometimes I think about is this is a parable that is like your very, very favorite sandwich meat. You know, and maybe as you picture, go ahead and picture that now. You know, maybe what you have in mind is a wonderful, juicy hamburger, right? Or maybe you're thinking two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions. Or maybe you go in a slightly different direction. Maybe your idea of the perfect sandwich filler is pulled pork. You know, with just that perfect barbecue sauce on it. And we won't have to argue about whether it's Kansas City style or whatever it is. You know, you have the picture in your mind. What is the perfect thing? You know, I'm sure everybody has something. Bill Cosby famously said, I'm proud to be an American because an American can eat anything between two slices of bread. So maybe for me, that perfect filler is turkey just slathered in mayo from Thanksgiving supper. Right? So whatever it is, you have this picture of the perfect sandwich filler. Now, slap that between two pieces of greasy brown cardboard. And that's the feel we get from this parable. Now, it's not that it won't kill you, that it'll kill you, but it just kind of loses something. Right, so the parable starts out with this wonderful image of this amazing generosity, and then the people who have been granted this incredible privilege, this incredible gift, this incredible opportunity, instead of being privileged, instead of accepting, recognizing the privilege, they get all privileged. Right? Instead of recognizing it as a special opportunity that might make one proud, instead it becomes the advantage of powerful people. Well, I just deserve this. And so the word comes out that everything is ready. It's time to go to the feast. And nobody goes. And the word comes back out. You know, the slaves come back out. And they say, dinner is served. We have the prime rib. It has been carefully marbled and prepared, and the veal, which has been finished with a nice wine sauce and tastefully added with herbs and a bed of rice. And instead of being enticed, they kill the messenger. And not just because he had a bad French accent. They kill the messenger. Instead of accepting the invitation, they turn their back on it. Instead of realizing the gift that they had been presented, their response was, "You annoy me." Poof. Greasy brown cardboard. And then we get the beautiful part of the parable. That the invitation goes out to absolutely everybody, the good and the bad. Nobody gets left out. Everybody gets to come and to be in the party. We talked about that more in part one. But then we get to the other side, and the king is looking and says, "Bud, how'd you get in here? You're not dressed for this. You didn't take this seriously." Now, there have been a great long tradition of explanations for what that's about. And you know, the traditions are that, you know, the wedding garment was provided by the host. So the man had everything he needed. He just didn't bother to put it on. Or others say, "Look, you just knew that you needed to put a tie on to go to the wedding. You needed to get a new dress because this is important." Now, the truth is, it's not nearly as important for us to figure out precisely how that worked. It's certainly not important enough for us to fight about what's the reason for what is important is to recognize that he did not take the invitation seriously either. And so just like the folks in the city, which ended up being burned down around him, he gets tossed out. Greasy brown cardboard. See, but the thing about greasy brown cardboard is that while you might not want to eat it, if you're going to eat it, the thing that you really have to do is chew on it for a long time. See, the other tradition about how we understand this parable is the same thing we talked about last week. That this is really a parable that says, well, the church is going to replace Israel because Israel didn't come to the party. And we could almost go there if we stopped the parable. If we stopped the parable at verse 10. But Jesus doesn't stop the parable at everybody came in, the good and the bad, and the wedding hall was filled. Where Jesus stops the parable is with this. When our privilege becomes privileged, it becomes deadly. When we stop taking the invitation, when we stop taking the gift seriously, and we do this in a variety of ways. You know, sometimes we do that by simply suggesting that, oh, well, this text really is talking to them other people. It doesn't have anything to do with me. I have to be careful about that. I mean, if nothing else, how terrible is it that we read the scripture and find that it says nothing to us? Because we're so sure that it's really talking about all them other people. shows up sometimes in the, well, I know I shouldn't, but. When we get casual about our own sinfulness. Now, let me be clear here. I don't think that God wants us to be fearful. I don't think that God wants us to serve Him because otherwise we're going to get it. But I do really, really believe that God wants us to serve all in. Jesus tells this parable, standing in the temple, in the shadow of the cross. Jesus tells this parable, having been warning that crucifixion was gonna happen. That resurrection was going to be necessary. But that God, in God's faithfulness, would surely do that too. And that our response to that is to take up our cross. Jesus tells this parable with this beautiful, amazing gift stuffed in the middle of some pretty unappetizing stuff to remind us. To remind us of the enormity of the gift which we have received in Jesus. And how, when we exercise our veto, Lord, thanks for the gift, but I think I'll pass on that. That it's a terrible thing. C.S. Lewis said it this way, that hell is when God says to us, okay, your will be done. God has an incredibly generous gift. That God provides all that we need to be saved, to be restored, to be reconciled. And the invitation that we have is to not rest in our place of privilege, but to always be in awe of the honor and the privilege that God has given to us in salvation in Jesus Christ. The honor and the privilege that God has given to us in the call to share that with absolutely everyone. With the honor and the privilege that God gives us to live like this kingdom of heaven can really, really, really happen on earth as it is already happening in heaven. Grace to you and peace. Amen.